Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready for some before the paywall?
Indeed. So, you want nuts, Andrew?
I would love some nuts, thank you.
Let's get nuts then. Preferably pecans, peanuts, cashews.
I'm a cashew man myself. How about
right,
you?
I'll get you some cashews. I like almonds.
Really?
I like pecans, actually.
Pecans Both are good. You yeah. know, welcome to Peanut Talk, everybody.
Yes. So, yeah, the flesh. Fresh trailer has been out this past week, and I'm sure you guys have been waiting for us to comb through it and look for Easter eggs and connections. And that's what we're going to do for this Patreon preview for everybody. So, obviously, we get to see a lot more of the Keaton Batman in this one, but also get to see Keaton's Bruce Wayne. We didn't really get to see much of him at all outside of the mask in the previous trailers. So, he doesn't have the mask this time, both here and in this shot, when he's talking to Barry in the opening monologue about wishing he could bring his own parents back. And I think we talked about this with our monthly meetup guys, but the monologue here really sells it. You know, like it really brings together the emotion of this movie.
Yeah, it was unfortunate timing. It was like the worst timing for this trailer, so apologies for that. Probably people think we're really late on this, but we recorded this on Mondays and this came out on Tuesdays, so so we're kind of a week late. But yeah, this it kind of felt like this was like going to be a Batman movie because it's so much Bruce Wayne. I mean, for a trailer, you know, for 2 minutes of 2 minute trailer, we have a whole 30 second intro or more of Batman. It's kind of a lot. And then it, you know, it brings it back around to the emotional core and their emotional connection between each other, regarding, you know, bringing parents back from the dead. Just really well done. And it seems to be, you know, it's not just going to be an action spectacle, you know, it's going to actually have, it's going to be an action spectacle, but below that it has the emotional core that, really, is what makes these movies, you know, better than most, I'd say, you know?
Yeah. I think it hints at a lot of stuff and is also something where it really deepens more of Keaton's character from what we've seen, because he's such a mysterious character in 89 Returns. And
yes, you don't know what's going on behind his eyes. And
here we have some
movies.
Yeah, we got some vulnerability here that we saw, you know, with Selina at the end of Returns and with some scenes with Vicki Vale in 89. But it's a different type of thing here. It really shows that, like, hey, you wouldn't get this if this was the Thomas Wayne Batman. You know, Thomas Wayne's Batman didn't lose his parents. He lost his kid in the Flashpoint comic. But, you know, there's a connection here about specifically losing parents here that I think they were smart to lean into. So
that's great,
especially when 89 was the first time we saw the Wayne murders dramatized in live action. So
yes,
it's been sticking with us for, you know, over 30 years or so. So that was good here. And during this monologue, we see a whole bunch of stuff that's been going on. We see Bruce's hand over an old photo of him and his parents, which was in like a previous trailer, but I think it's even more hinted at here that it is Bruce Wayne's hand, more or less. But pretty much, yeah. So this looks very similar to the family portrait in the Batman 89 comic, though that one is an unfinished painting rather than a photo. Kind of a similar composition here with everybody. And eagle-eyed viewers will also note that the actors here look a little different from the ones in 89, who were David Baxt as Thomas Wayne, Sharon Holm as Martha Wayne, and Charles Roskelly as young Bruce Wayne. We did a whole deep dive on our Patreon on these actors because, you know, we go as deep as we can with 89. But yeah, it's pretty evident that the Waynes look different, but it makes sense. Like, you can't bring back these actors now to recreate this today and expect them to look the same, especially Charles Roskelly. He's no longer a little kid. So you either do a shit ton of Photoshop for continuity reasons, or you make it easy on yourself and just get new actors and just chalk it up to Barry messing with the timeline.
It's just not going to be the kind of thing that ruins the movie. And I mean, it's might hint that it's like not the Burton verse that we know. It's a different Burton verse because the multiverse is truly infinite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be that. And even if it is that, that won't like ruin the movie. So
yeah,
no one should be. Are people losing their heads over this?
Nah, it's just something I wanted to point out.
Okay, I got it.
But if they are, let us know. But I haven't seen much on that one. Again, I don't think a lot of people were paying that much attention to how Thomas and Martha and Bruce look like in the flashback in 89. And I'd say the actors they picked were close enough, you know, in that photo. You just need them for like a 2 second shot, you know, of his hand over it. And then that's it. Like what we saw in the trailer is probably as much as we're going to see it in the movie.
Okay.
So it does look like there's some sort of Batcave entrance from the bookshelf in that shot where you know, we see the bookcase open and there's the bat suits there, but I don't know if that's like just the opening of the bat cave and beyond that is the bat cave, or if he just randomly has the vault in his study or something, or all that stuff is actually in the bat cave and that's how you open the vault. But we'll find out in June, no matter the case. But we also get to see Keaton's bat computer during this time. It looks like it's been upgraded. This is clearly his and not Affleck's, because if you look at the top two monitors on the left and the right, you get to see the design for the Batwing, as well as the design for his Batsuit on the top right. So this is his Batcave. This is his Batcomputer. Plus, it's also in the trailer when he's talking, so it'd be a little weird if it was Affleck stuff.
It's just, they don't meet, do they? Maybe they don't meet, huh? That'd be kind of cool if they did, but...
But I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
We'll see. Or maybe that's one of the surprises. But again, we did not go to CinemaCon, so we have not seen this movie. So anything that we say here should not be taken as like spoiler territory. We're just analyzing what's in the trailer.
We don't own a movie theater.
Yeah. So this is Keaton's back computer. And if you look at the chair, he seems to have the same type of chair as he did in 89, right with the same sort of headrest type of thing. So... but he's clearly upgraded his monitors since 89, which makes sense, of course. So, but that was kind of a cool little detail.
When you have when you have a good chair, you know, you just got to keep it.
Yeah. Leather might be more worn down after, you know, the past 30 plus years, but still good. But yeah, another major thing he's upgraded was the thing that we talked about in the main episode this week, which was the Batwing. It was destroyed in the 89 film. So of course he had to upgrade it. And like we talked about on the main show, it seems like the Batwing is finally getting as much of a showcase, if not more, in a Batman film than it did in 89. Like we said before, like all the other times, it's kind of not really been given much of a showcase. But here, it's the main showcase in terms of Batman vehicles in the trailers. We only really see the Batmobile sitting in the Batcave, at least so far. Maybe it shows up in a scene we haven't seen any footage of. I'd like to think so. Since if you're going to put, you know, the greatest Batmobile ever in the movie, you should have him at least take him out again for one last ride. But we get the Batwing in this one. We see it in the Batcave for the first time, which we didn't get to see in 89. And it's also hanging upside down, which is something that we saw in Batman Forever, which I think is a cool detail. That's one of the cool parts of the Batwing in Batman Forever. I think you commented on that too, on that being cool.
Yeah.
So... that's a cool detail, but other upgrades, it looks like the Batwing wings fold out as it's coming out, and we also see stuff that we saw in previous trailers where it looks like Keaton's Batcave has a waterfall outside the entrance, kind of like Bale's did in the Dark Knight trilogy. So kind of another upgrade here. This Batwing also seems to be able to show occupants or allow it to shift outside of the plane, which is what we see with Batman and the two Barrys before Barry asks Batman where his parachutes are. So that's a cool shot. But yeah, it does look like the Batwing at some point gets attacked in the trailer by a Kryptonian who looks like Nam-Ek from Man of Steel. Nam-Ek did a similar thing of jumping onto planes and attacking them and killing the pilots in Man of Steel. But it looks like Keaton does use his glider cape to escape the same fate as everyone else. But like all the others, I'm pretty sure the Batwing is going to get destroyed again. In this, since that you know, go ahead.
That shot in Man of Steel is like he kills the guy, it like crushes him or something, but it's kind of far away from frame from the camera.
And too quick, yeah, unless you're like pausing.
It's very quick. Yeah, like I remember you telling me that, and I had seen Man of Steel, you know, several times, and I hadn't really noticed that. It's pretty gruesome. It probably wouldn't have gotten a PG-13 if that had been closer.
Yeah, no,
you know,
for sure.
That's pretty cool. Pretty cool little touch that Snyder did there, and to see that kind of happen again, like to see the Flash kind of invade Man of Steel. This is wild for me, man. We talked about on this podcast before. Go back in the archives if you don't know, but like Man of Steel was kind of a big movie for me personally for some strange reason. And to kind of see, you know, this movie revisit and kind of invade that space, I think it's cool. And it's wild. It's just wild to see all this.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I would never have guessed years ago. They're like, Keaton's going to come back. And he's going to fight the Man of Steel Kryptonians. I'm just like, Keaton, that just sounds like fan fiction.
You see this desert scene in Man of Steel? Yeah, Keaton's going to be in that fucking shit. All right, get back on your meds, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know? No, this is actually happening. So yeah. I don't know what Muschietti was on, but we need that shit.
Hodson, not Mahodson too, right?
Or Hodson too, yeah, yeah. We got this shot here where it looks like the Batwing is a goner, just like all the other Batwings in live action, like we talked about before. This thing always gets destroyed.
The Batwing is just not long for this world, bro. You know,
he makes it to be expendable. Yeah, the Batmobiles kind of have more lasting power, but the Batwings not so much. So looks like he's going to lose it at some point in this, based off of what we see here in the trailer, because no one else is flying that plane after he jumps out. At least I don't think so. So. This is a cool shot. Another shot that's cool with him with his cape out is this one, where it looks like he's upgraded the bulletproof capabilities in the suit. If you remember in the Burton films, whenever he got shot, he usually, I mean, maybe some of it was him acting, but he usually got fell to the ground. In 89, it happens twice. In Returns, it happens when the police open fire on him and he falls to the other floor. But here, 70 plus Bruce Wayne is able to take it just by like swinging his cape out and stuff. So, that's cool in terms of Kevlar, the
super light Kevlar cape, bro. I mean, Why not? And it's just cool to see Batman actively saving people like this. It's a really great image, you know. I mean, yeah, I think it's great. It just looks cool. It's a great little shot we see in this trailer.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's one of those things I had to go back and just like, wait, does he do what I think he does? And I look back and I'm like, oh yeah, he does, because it's so short of a time. In the trailer,
but yeah
it's there. This next one comes from our fan Sparkageddon. What's up, Sparkageddon? It's been a while. He says, say I know this, the video he was commenting on was 7 months old, but he says, I say I know this is 7 months old, but I noticed something after seeing the Flash trailer. I caught on the Barry's Flash 89 costume resembles not only the Batman Returns armor suit, but it looks just like Robin's costume for the Batman 89 comic. If you compare the ab area in young Barry's suit with Robin's in the 89 comic, you can see it's pretty much the Batman Returns layout, both painted red over here, which is an interesting connection.
This is going to be a comedic beat in the movie. I mean, there's look at his cowl. Like he's cut off the ears, dude, like to make a makeshift Flash suit. I mean, this is the return suit painted. Muschietti like tweeted this out too, mm-hmm. You know, so I mean,
yeah,
I don't think this is like a kind of the worst kept secret, which is cool though, you know. It's gonna be played for comedy. It's gonna be fine.
It's cool that there's a connection to this Robin too with that suit.
This Robin suit rules, by the way. It's like the best one.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking awesome. I think it's kind of a cool connection. I don't think it was intentional that like Muschietti and Christina Hodson is having young Barry in a makeshift Returns costume that's been made for him, while Sam Hamm and Joe Quinones had a makeshift sort of Batman Returns costume modified for the Drake Winston Robin. So looks like Keaton just likes passing that suit along to his proteges. Seems to be a thing.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. And then the last shot I want to bring up involving the Keaton Batman is this one, where I'm like, is Keaton's Batman kneeling before Zod? I don't know. He's kneeling.
God, I have not even thought about that.
So, he's just tired from having gotten, you know, attacked by Namek and ejected from the Batwing, and he just landed afterwards and he needs a breather because he's fucking 70. I don't know. But it was an intriguing shot that I saw here with him on his knees, which is not what you're used to seeing. So I don't know what the context is behind this, but it's also weird seeing Keaton's Batman during the day as well.
That's true, man. It's like mostly during the day.
Yeah. But it almost happened in Batman 89. We almost got to see Keaton's Batman during the day. It was in the shooting draft with rewrites by Warren Skirin, the guy we keep saying, God damn it, as he's snorting cocaine. And
that's the guy that's the guy that had to write the let's get nuts scene on the fly, right?
Right, yeah. He had a whole action sequence between Batman and Joker after that let's get nuts apartment scene that was cut. That would have been Batman showing up during the day to save Vicky and the mayor from the Joker. And you can check out our coverage on our episode in the Batman 89 novelization, where we went into a little bit more detail on that sequence. But yeah, Muschietti gets to bring an idea to life that Warren Skirin wrote in many, many years ago. So, which is the Keaton Batman during the day in daylight. So it's pretty cool. But that's pretty much what I got in terms of the Easter eggs and the Keaton stuff. Outside of that, it's just a good trailer. You know,
yes.
It's just solid.
It's a fucking great trailer. I mean, you know, I feel like Muschietti is going to do to the DCU what the Russo brothers did to Marvel, just kind of inject all the right juice into it. It seems like everybody's kind of on the same page. Everything is really good about this trailer. There's not much wrong with it. You know, all the designs, the look of it, it looks fun, it's funny, it's got the emotional beats that are really, really strong. You know, like, for example, another trailer that came out recently, it was the Rise of the Beast Transformers one. Like, dude, and this sort of relates because Hodson wrote Bumblebee, which was a great movie. And look, I haven't seen Rise of the Beast yet. I don't think Hodson wrote it. But you look at that trailer, it's like there's no emotional anything in it at all. It's totally I don't know if it'll be it looks like a little better than the Michael Bay ones. I fucking hate those, but the, you know, we got something really great with Hodson's Bumblebee. And just comparing, you know, like, you like, this is in the trailer on Front Street. They're not hiding it in flesh. This emotional core is totally there. And it's going to be a big part and make it heavy when it needs to be heavy, you know. And all the designs are great. I mean, this is like, dude, this is like, this movie is going, it's really, everything about it is kind of feels like it's for me. You know, we talk about this, I didn't really love Snyder's designs and for some of his movies and stuff like that, but like, I like all the designs in this one, and I love that Zod's back, and you know, the Supergirl looks great, her suit looks great, you know, the Batwing looks great. The Flash action looks like it's going to be awesome. You know, it's just, there's only one thing that's like a very minor gripe, and it's Zod's line, "This planet must die." It's just like, come on, we don't have a better line here. There's got to be a better line here.
I have a feeling he's just not going to have, because he's not like that major of a part, it seems, compared to Man of Steel. But I just don't think he's going to have the iconic moments that he kind of had in Man of Steel with the "I will find him" or the, you know, "on a farm" or that type of stuff. I just think he's going to, maybe I'm wrong, I just think he's just kind of going to just be there.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that.
I think it's going to, I mean, he's obviously going to have like be part of some major action sequences, but just, man, dude, his lot, that line, and it's not, doesn't ruin it or anything, but that is literally the only thing that gave me a little bit of pause from just the dialogue. Look, everything great, love Michael Shannon, he's awesome. I don't know, I'm a stickler for dialogue too, I think, but anyway, I fucking love this trailer. This is my most look forward to movie this whole year.
Same.
This entire fucking year. I've told my wife already. I've like preparing her, you know, like a month in advance. Like, this
it's coming up.
There's there is no question that we're not seeing this movie immediately. You know, I try to try to make it very clear, show the trailer, get her prepared. She's into it. And lately I try to only bring her to the really good ones. Mm-hmm. She likes it when they're good, you know, but she, like I didn't bring her to Shang-Chi. I didn't bring her to Ant-Man, you know, I didn't bring her to Love and Thunder. You know,
well, I'm the one.
I want her to kind of stay liking these movies. So I only, I don't want her to go through fatigue. So gotcha. Like, you know, I'm going to watch all of them, but the ones we watch together in the theater, I'm going to make sure they're fucking bangers. Nice. Like this one's more than likely going to be. So,
if you can get hooked up with a preview screening, even better.
Yeah. This trailer fucking rules, dude. Everything about it. I felt like a little kid again.
Yeah.
Watching it, like getting super hyped for a movie again. And I love that Keaton's bringing people to the Flash. I'm excited to, you know, despite all the stories with Ezra Miller and stuff, I still, as a character, at least I want to see what happens with the Flash and Barry.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll say it like that. All right. But yeah, so enough for me. What about you? I'm sure you love every second of it. That's just like I do. Right.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's some CG that still clearly needs to be worked on. And I don't know how much they will between now and when the movie comes out. But outside of that, like, it's the only thing that bumped me on it. Other than that, like, the Keaton monologue, of course, was fantastic. It really sets up that, like, hey, like, we're going to deepen more of the Keaton Batman character. While at the same time, like, this is still Barry's story. Everybody in this, even though, like, yeah, it might seem like it's a nostalgia fest with Keaton or a cameo fest with the Kryptonians and stuff, like, it revolves around Barry's story still, kind of like how No Way Home was still revolved around Tom Holland's Spider-Man, despite the fact there were like 20 million people in the cast for that, and yet they still managed to make that about Tom Holland's Peter to the point where, like, the entire emotional arc in the finale is all on him. Despite, you know, cameo of a million people before that. And I think we're in for something similar for this, where it's going to be based purely on Barry and somebody who just didn't want his parents to die and having to face the consequences of trying to do that with, you know, another character, Batman, trying to help him be that, because he gets something that Bruce never got to have. And there's something really emotional and powerful about that, and I'm excited about the idea of what new insights could come up in Keaton's Batman in this one, because I think I told you before where I'm like there was kind of a concern of, like, is this going to ruin his Batman? But when I'm watching more of this, I'm just like, well, what I didn't consider is this going to even make his Batman even better? We'll see.
Yeah.
Again, like, there's a lot of hype for this, and I'm sure a lot of it we're going to watch and we'll be like, well, I don't know if it's that good. It's good, but I don't know if it's that good as a response to some of the reception. But the reception was just fucking out of this world with the Twitter reactions and shit. Like, it's, I'm like, dude, this is going to be something special.
It's just a little bit, like, too good. Like, oh my God, is this, like, I want to taper my expectations a little bit here.
Same.
Just because people are acting like this is like the Jesus come back in superhero form, man. It's like this. I haven't seen hype like this in a long time, man.
Yeah.
Like, if this brings you the feels like on the level of Top Gun Maverick or something, that'd be, or somewhere around there, I guess that'd be cool. But it's just, it seems like the hype is even beyond that in some way.
Apparently,
it's,
even Tom Cruise agrees. If that Tom Cruise is to be,
that's true. Hodson wrote a fucking banger here, it really feels like. So I could see why Gunn's like, don't go anywhere. I'm gonna put your ass right in the bullpen. Write the rest of these fucking movies. I love the response from Feige, dude. That the Feige has been restructuring the fuck out of Marvel, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Like, they're trying to, like, brace for the storm that's about to happen, because DC's about to come back in a really fucking strong way. And, you know, they're talking about getting, like, actual directors I don't want to say that. Directors that have more prestige than the ones that they've been getting so far for some of the films. And, you know, it's cool that they give you know, up and comer directors of Marvel film, which is awesome. But I can see wanting to handle the competition more now that they're going to actually have competition thanks to Gunn.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of have to restructure. And on top of that, not just the directors, but the VFX people, you know, going to mutiny here soon. Probably, I don't know why they haven't been on strike, to be honest with you. But so yeah, anyway, this trailer, dude, looks excellent. All the trailers have been great. The Japanese trailer is a totally different tone. Mm-hmm. But it's good too. I kind of wish I hadn't seen it because it's like so much extra footage, but
yeah.
I wanted to see how they market to Japan, which is always interesting to me. But yeah, man, it does to me, this is kind of it, you know, yeah. Like, I don't know why
it goes downhill after this.
it's kind of spelled out at this point. You got, you know what the good ones are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do this again. make Green Lantern, you know, like this, or you know, some shit like that. The Green Lantern seems like it'll be darker actually with the True Detective thing he said anyway. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, dude, looking just so forward to this. It looks like such a treat.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's the movie of the year that we're looking forward to, and apparently people who saw it seem to say that that's what it is. So, fingers crossed. You know, we'll see
fingers
what happens.
Fingers crossed, man. Everybody, taper your expectations a little bit, but
yeah,
you could probably expect a good one. It'd probably be pretty mm-hmm. good. You know, yeah. Let's sure. do it.
All right. So that is it for the public part. And stuff, but if you want to hear more, we're going to dive into more of the sort of the news roundup, certain things that were kind of talked about the movie, as well as you know, certain insights from Zack Snyder himself in this past SnyderCon and stuff. So we'll talk about that on the $5 Patreon tier if you're a part of that, and we'll see you there.
Patreon.com/superhero stuff pod, link in the description. These episodes are at the $5 tier mark, so we're going over and behind the paywall now, and we'll see you there.
Yep.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.